This morning our text is going to be out of Matthew 10, Matthew chapter 10, with a theme of knowledge, revelation, and experience in an effective cycle. Knowledge, revelation, and experience in an effective cycle. Out of Matthew chapter 10. So there were two hikers walking through the woods one day, and they came across a really big hole, big, deep hole. And they looked down it, and they're like, "Wow, what is that?" He's kind of looking all, and it's like they can't even see the bottom. And so, here, grab some pebbles, just toss it in, see how really deep it is. So they toss in a few little pebbles, and the sound never comes back. They can't hear it. Man, that's a deep hole. Here, get one of these bigger rocks over here. You get a big rock, this is going to make a noise. It's going to probably hear some water or something at the bottom. Chuck it in. No noise. They couldn't hear it. Man, this is a deep hole. What is going on? I never knew this was here. So, well, look over there. There's a railroad tie. That's got to make some noise. So they lug this railroad tie over, and they say, "Okay, ready? One, two, three, chuck it in." And they're listening. No sound. Man, that's a really deep hole. And all of a sudden, out of the woods, comes this goat. This goat is running super fast and jumps right down into the hole. And they're like, "What?" They're wondering what's going on. All of a sudden, this farmer comes through the woods. "Anybody seen my goat?" "Well, he just came running like the wind. He just jumped right into this hole." "Nah, couldn't be. My goat's tied to a railroad tie." Those two hikers had a revelation of what was really going on. All right, well, let's look in Matthew chapter 10. Today we want to teach about the importance of revelation and how personal growth happens when there's an effective cycle of knowledge, revelation, and experience. So if you could say revelation with me. Experience and knowledge. So knowledge, in a quick sense, quick summary, knowledge would be maybe learning about things. Revelation would be like a, "Wow, I never saw it like that before," or some insight into that. An experience, making it practical and realistic. Because we all need a faith that is practical and realistic, not just too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. We need that to be effective in life and effective at reaching people. When revelation is supported by experience, then it goes deeper within. It makes it more special, and it stays with us. But yet revelation feeds experience. An experience by itself can be a passionate thing, but it needs revelation to be grounded. Because you could have an experience and not know what it means. You could have an experience with God and some sort of healing, but not understand it and understand how God can use that in a powerful way. You could have an experience of just, "Man, God really spoke to me." And some people have a real emotional experience, and that's very valid, a very helpful thing in the Christian life. But we need God's insight, God's revelation, to really keep us grounded so we're not fly-by-night kind of people. Amen? Knowledge applied properly can keep revelation in check, because we could get all these amazing revelations, but knowledge of the Word of God helps keep us grounded in these things that we believe God is showing us. So knowledge can feed revelation. You see, there's a give and take here, and we'll discuss it a little bit more. But knowledge feeds revelation, and revelation propels us then into even more experience. And I believe this develops a hunger for even more knowledge, and the cycle can continue. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. So, I'm going to be giving a three-step pattern a few times here in our time today. Knowledge. Jesus tells the disciples, you can evangelize and cast out demons. They have a revelation. I can do this? I can do this. He said, I can do this. An experience, they went out and they did this. They learned more about this as they did it. And I believe that fed them more hunger to learn of God, to learn and know Jesus, know His ways. They became better disciples to be more disciplined to pay attention to Jesus, I believe, at that point. We see the response in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 24. This is gives a detailed account of the conversations when they came back, even more. Because I believe Jesus sent out His disciples on numerous occasions. And now 72 are returning instead of just the 12. They're returning with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in Your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Then He turned to His disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And so you see that Jesus brings them back to a grounding. In the sense of their excitement of the experience, Jesus boils it back down and says, let me give you another little bit of information here. It'll take you deeper. He shows them. And that's what we're going to look at here today is to know that, see, God gives us some. He wants us to get a revelation for what He gives us. And then go out and do something with it, to walk in it, make it practical. And when we have that experience, and where it's real, and we have, it didn't necessarily happen how I thought it was going to happen, God gives us a little bit more. And that's a hunger that starts brewing inside of us. And that's a good thing. We prayed about that. That came out this morning in our prayer time, is that God would develop more hunger in our lives. And you know, we need this hunger, a spiritual hunger, to be growing in our lives. And that develops us as people. It develops us in our Christian walk and our witness with other people. We cannot be people who don't eat. God wants us to have a hunger because He can more than satisfy it. Amen? So let's look at knowledge. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles. as from study or investigation, familiarity or conversance, as with a particular subject or branch of learning. So a lot of facts, a lot of truths, a lot of principles, a lot of memorization. How many appreciated memorization as a student? Yeah, it's a challenge, right? A lot of the facts, a lot of schoolwork, a lot of getting it inside of you and just pounding through these things. Knowledge. I believe knowledge feeds revelation. Because as you get into knowledge, there's going to come a point where you're going to begin to see, oh, that's how I can use that piece of information, that bit of knowledge. I'm going to see how, I begin to see how it's practical. This is why it's generally good advice for young people to continue on to college, I believe. A continual provoking of the mind, an increase in knowledge can trigger a revelation of what that student would want to do with his or her life. So, yes, it's important for school, grammar school, to come up through the middle school and the high school. But unless that student has a real revelation of what they're going to do, or if there's a total not readiness for it, I understand that there's balance in all things, but it's generally good to continue the provoking of the mind, the challenging of the mind, as you begin to wrestle with the revelation that God is giving for that person's life. So knowledge is important, but yet 1 Corinthians 8:1-2, you're probably already thinking of this verse, says, "Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know." So yes, this is often spouted as an important perspective about knowledge, but let's not neglect the pursuit of knowledge as long as we allow it to operate in an environment where it can develop realness and experience where it will be balanced. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, gives us plenty of encouragement to gain knowledge, to gain understanding. So can we all agree this is important in our lives? This is important in our Christian walk to grow in knowledge. Because God can use it. And God pours out knowledge. It's important that we develop an attitude to learn, to gain more knowledge, to read and study. Don't be resistant to a challenge. We need to apply our mind and to allow those things that we gain to be challenged and work through. This is why it's wonderful in the home group that we bring what God is, what we've read, and share what God has spoken to us for that week. And I know many of the home group leaders give opportunity for everybody to speak. And it's important that we do share. And we attribute what God has shown us. And not just, that's separate. Home group life is separate from that. I mean, this is life together. Amen? So, a basis of knowledge gives us a groundwork for revelation to impact us. So that's the section on knowledge. Now looking at revelation. Revelation, something revealed or disclosed, especially a striking disclosure, as of something not before realized. God's disclosure of Himself and His will to His creatures, an instance of communication or disclosure, a moment. Man, I had an awesome revelation today of what God is saying to me. Now I know why God has been pressing this on my heart. I have a revelation that God is speaking to me in this area of my life. Something like that. It's a revelation. And so we see a new aspect of things and we want to go and apply it. I'll give you an example. As no surprise, all growing up, from many people I've heard the challenge be put to me to be a leader. To be a leader in righteousness. Not just be a follower. And so this was probably when I was maybe fifth or sixth grade. I was at a summer camp. And this was the first day, and it was with a group of boys. It's kind of like, everybody converges at camp, and it's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Yeah, hey, man. You get to meet all these kids, and you're running around the camp seeing all the things you can do and play with for that, what you're going to be doing that week, and you you bounce from the bridge and see all the fish down there. You bounce over to the swimming area. You're like, no way, they got a diving board. And then you run all over to the playground and you check everything out, right? And so we were doing that. We just kind of do the bounce around thing. And I remember one moment that I had suggested we go, let's go check that out. Go over to a new spot. And one of the other kids said, well, I guess we know who's going to be the leader this week. And he was speaking out loud. It wasn't a bad thing, but it struck me at that moment, not as like, I'm the leader. It was more like, people are watching. The thing that I was challenged to do, it was a knowledge that, you know, leadership's important, be a leader. Okay, that's what I heard all my life. But that was a revelation at that moment, as a young boy, young man, that people are watching, and people do care about leadership. They're paying attention. And so people appreciate leadership. I know I appreciate leadership. When there's question in a group about what to do and someone can offer real, true, genuine leadership, I really appreciate that. Do you guys appreciate when true leadership comes forward and steps forward? I know I appreciate that. And we need that. People respond to true leadership. And so let's not step away from opportunities when God could be putting on you a revelation that maybe I'm to be a leader in this situation. And then you're like, well, what does that mean to be a leader? And you begin to wrestle with the practicalities of it. And that hunger starts growing. Man, I gotta find out what is God's heart for leadership. I gotta understand what it means to be a real leader, because in God's ways, different topic, but servanthood is really the way to leadership. Amen? And so we begin to wrestle with this even more. Amen? So that's revelation. Revelation is very important in this process of growth for us. And so we then move on to experience. Experience often has an element of hard knocks associated to it. But it's this wrestling with the revelation that turns the prior knowledge into real revelation, because it's been balanced out with practicality and what we've learned through that hardship. Some examples would be God's goodness. Yeah, I've heard God is good, but I really have gotten a revelation that God is good through my situation that I just went through. I really get it now. And no one can just come and say, you know, God's a vengeful God. God's a good God because I got it in me. God loves me. There's many people that grew up without love in their life. And in their family, love was just absent. But yet, they heard. They came to church one day and they heard, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And they're like, okay. Chalk that up to knowledge. But then they begin to enter in even more. And in a moment, God gives them a revelation. I love you. Child, you are mine. And that becomes an experience that no one can take away. God's revelation comes to them and is meaningful and powerful. How about this? God can provide for me. I don't know if you've ever wrestled with the challenge of provision for you, yourself, a family. Maybe the end of that lease is coming up. You don't know where you're going to live. Somehow, man, I heard God provides for me. I read it in the Bible. But now comes the time when we're going to gain a revelation. We're going to gain some experience that really tests that knowledge that God provides for us. And I believe that God provides for me. I've seen it time and time again. I know that God can move mountains. And I believe that these testimonies of these experiences are rich. And no one can take that away when we go to share about God's goodness instead of misperceptions that people may have about God. God can change that around. God has given me gifts. God has given you gifts. God has given us gifts. Yeah, God has given you gifts. God has given you talents and abilities. What are they? I don't know. Maybe you've thought that at some point because you've heard it so many times. God has given you a gifting. God has given you... Well, let's get to the point where we begin to use that. Sometimes, before the revelation comes, we just need to step out into using those things, and we'll begin to see more that God can use that. So God has given us gifts. And God can use my gifts. Not just giving. I guess in my notes, I kind of pinpointed the difference here. God has given you, yes, in recognition that God has given us, but God can use our gifts. And that's very important. God can use us in very unique ways. Amen? The cycle of knowledge, revelation, experience can also work in reverse. Because an experience that we weren't even, you know, thinking of or aware of can give us revelation about ourselves, about our situation, and about God. And then that revelation can drive us to gain more knowledge about how to progress and how to move forward. So this isn't a very specific thing, but these are just aspects that I think God uses. And you know what? There's probably a lot more that can be added to this, but I believe that we can be encouraged today to grow in knowledge, to have a hunger for more of God, and then have a hunger as well for more revelation of Him and be able to use that in powerful ways. So let's return back to our text. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. So the Bible makes it clear to share the good news of salvation. That's some good knowledge to be aware of. Some people, some churches might say that, you know, come and be a good person, learn how to be a better person. But the Bible does give us this knowledge that we are to go. We are to go and preach a message that the kingdom of heaven is near. And the more scriptures in the Word of God can balance that out and say the kingdom of heaven is here, the kingdom of heaven is within us. And that's even more that we can grow in as we get hungry about growing in God's kingdom and preaching the good news of salvation. But the Bible makes it clear we are to share the good news. Revelation. How about this? A little bit deeper. People without Jesus will die in their sin. Some people don't, you know, they hear the message, okay, yeah, we're supposed to go and preach. But I think it's a real revelation, at least it was for me, when I realized people die in their sin. I don't go around preaching, you're going to die in your sin. It's a revelation to me that there is a need for salvation. The salvation, that's the good news to go forth. And God will give us the ability to express and convey and minister that in a very good way. The experience could be, as we go out and begin to do that, that there's boldness and courage that grows within us to evangelize. I know we all would. Everybody catch my eye if you ever had an instance where you're like, should I share the gospel? Should I? And we didn't necessarily have that boldness. I've been there. I know. I know that there's that challenge. And yet, as we grow in that, God gives us the boldness and courage to evangelize. And then we don't have any fear about testifying about Jesus Christ. Amen? So, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. That's a process. Matthew 10, verse 8. Looking at verse 8. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. There we go. Knowledge. Jesus said we're to be workers of miracles. Alright, sounds good to me. Head knowledge. Revelation is that I've been empowered to minister to deep needs in people's lives. I've seen how people in sickness are greatly hindered. Maybe you've had that revelation. Man, this person's really struggling. This sickness is really, it's really hard. It's really a tough time for them. And maybe God has given you, as a revelation, a heart for understanding those who are the outcasts. Speaking of the lepers, we've heard of the correlations in the past. The lepers were the outcasts of society. And yet, today, there's plenty of outcasts. And maybe you've felt that in your heart. God has given me a heart for the understanding of those who are outcasts in life. Maybe that's a revelation that you have that not everyone else has, but it's something real. And that brings you to the opportunities. When opportunities rise, you begin to get out there, get involved in people's lives, praying with them, walking with them through their problems. That's the experience of what knowledge, when knowledge becomes a revelation, we begin to act on it and to walk in the experience of it. And then as we do that, we get even more compassion for people. God, give me even more of a heart for you. Help me to understand more of your word so that I can minister the truth of your word to people's lives. And then this cycle continues on. How about this? The last part of that verse. Knowledge. Yeah, ready for this? Demons are bad. All right. So, yeah, I watched the horror movies, you know, maybe. And it was scary. And it was spooky. It scared me. Yeah, so demons are bad. All right. Okay. You know, I tell the kids. I don't know how I'm going to tell my, you know, the kids. Like, don't watch a scary movie. Why? It'll scare you. But yeah, it's a basic knowledge. Demons are bad. Revelation could be that God has given us the power and authority over demon influence. Through prayer, we believe God has shown us this isn't... A real example might be God has shown you through prayer that it's not just a sickness that you or someone close to you is experiencing, but this could actually be demonic influence, torment. And so we're not going to get into even more teaching about that, but I do believe that we can grow in this, and God can give us revelation about this. An experience would be to pray and cast out that demonic influence in someone's life, or even take an authority over our lives, and to be able to remove that impact in our life. And so, as you begin to pray in that and take authority, I mean, that is a big revelation to have. No, we have authority over demonic influence. People, not everybody's demon possessed, but there could be different situations that have demonic impact. And so as we pray through these, God can give us insight. We begin to minister in that way as God leads us. And yet, maybe in that situation, as we're ministering and praying, there's not freedom yet. So, we go back to God. God, give me even more revelation about this. You see the cycle? The hunger returning back to God? And so, wow, we're like, oh, through prayer and fasting. Not just prayer. Prayer and fasting. Okay. God has given us more revelation about spiritual matters. And maybe even about doors of demonic influence that have been opened in my life. And so you begin to understand through prayer and reflection, God pinpoints things in your life when you can begin to address that. And by prayer, fasting, God speaks to us, God moves mountains, but God can give us insight and deep revelation. So the experience then out of that deeper revelation is we begin to take a stand even more in God's authority. And yet not allowing pride, because pride could be a great hindrance in us walking in our authority. And we drive out the demons. I mean, I was meditating on this yesterday and just thinking about, let's say there was a dog, whether it be a neighborhood dog or this or that, coming near my kid, and it turns, you know, as I'm seeing, this is not looking good. This dog is looking like it's going to, like, knock over, maybe... For little ones, not simply knocking them over is a bad thing, but bite them, okay? And this dog is now in my yard. How would I drive out something like that? I mean, you just imagine. I mean, if you're protecting your property, you are going to take your stand between valuable and danger. And if it goes this way, you're going to step that way. If it goes, you're going to take your stand, and you're going to look in that and say, get out, get out, get out. You're going to drive at it. You're going to push it out, drive it out. And there's real situations in our life. We may need to drive out sin, drive out influence that has encroached on us. And this is an important part of growth. Listen, Christians need to grow in their authority. And this is not just a prideful, high, pie in the sky, I know where I stand in Christ. This is the reality. This is the humility of walking in God's authority. And there is great amount of revelation God wants to show us, but we need God's knowledge. We need wisdom. we need balance and support. As you know, if there's a real situation where you're going to be needing to walk in God's authority, you need support from the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 8, the next section. Everybody look at Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. So this portion is not dealing with money. That's going to be the next one. All right? But the knowledge will be that God has given us gifting, talents, and passions to everyone. We kind of talked about that earlier. And so that would be a knowledge. God, okay, has given me giftings. He's freely given something to me. So therefore, I should freely give. Revelation, I can actually use my life experience, my abilities, and talents for God's glory. The experience would be actually getting out there and using your giftings to encourage people. This could be any environment. The workplace, this could be in the neighborhood, the community. It could be in our church gatherings, and it could and should be to be able to use our gifts. We are very open to that as a church, and we need that for everybody to walk in their giftings. Whether on Sunday or Wednesdays, we should be using our giftings. Or the week of VBS. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. So we have this knowledge as we read the scripture. Finances are not a requirement to operate in God's ways. The revelation, as you press into it even more, can be God makes things happen outside of the influence of money. He can provide the finances when He wants to use them, but God can use all kinds of influence and not just the money. And so we're gaining a revelation of that. We're beginning to understand how God works. And so we begin to walk out in that. We begin to have this experience where, you know, I'm going to trust God in my finances a little bit more. I'm going to really say, God, this is hard for me, but I'm going to trust You in this area. Trusting God with my spending habits. Government's going through a lot of spending habits issues right back now. Maybe God is saying you need to cut back in some areas and spending habits. And God, but I need this, but I'm going to trust You, God. God works outside of the influence of money. God can do things in different ways. And so trusting God in the tithe, can be a real challenge to trust God in that area. And so, do we trust God with our finances? Because He says, don't take any gold or silver or copper in your belts when you're going out. Put yourself in those shoes. All right, everybody ready? Don't jump out of your chair, but put yourself in some different shoes. All right? And those boys, when they're being sent out by Jesus, don't take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. What are going to be some of the things that you're going to be thinking in your mind? Go ahead. I actually want to hear from you right about now. So, what am I going to eat? Good. How about something else? If Jesus just told you that, what else are you going to be thinking in your mind? Fuel for your car. How are you going to get there, right? What else? Do you have some? Where are you going to live? Where are you going to, where are you going to stay that night? Huh? Yeah. What else? What else are you going to be concerned about if you're not taking anything, you're not taking all this stuff? Your clothes are going to wear out. What's that? Cell phone. How are we going to be in contact with people? That's right. Oh, Lord knows how dependent we are on our cell phones. So true. We're thinking about all these things. Don't take any gold. Don't take any supplies, silver, copper in your belts. What about my Wendy's bacon burger that I usually have every lunch? Where are we going to get that from? God will provide. I mean, this is a huge thing. We got to move past knowledge and the revelation of how God works. And praise God, we are. We're moving forward. And our families are pressing forward into deeper revelation of God and trusting in God. Amen? So, Matthew chapter 10, verse 10 says, "Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep." And I want to zero in on that last phrase. The worker is worth his keep. The knowledge is that extra things that we own that make us, they don't make us valuable as a worker. Extra things that we own. Now, if you're a craftsman, maybe you have all your tools, and that's valuable to get a job because you don't have to need the company to provide for you. You bring your job, your stuff to the job with you. I can understand that. But even more is, do you have the goods inside to be able to accomplish the task of that job? So let's put ourselves into our job setting right now. Okay? So in our real world job setting, it's not the extra things that we own that make us valuable as a worker. Revelation, as we press into that, a diligent worker with ever-increasing capability and a sense of ownership is a valuable resource. It's my desire to grow and expand in any job that's going to cause me to be worth my keep in a job. How can I help? Do we get to a job and say, "How can I help?" Are we the ones that are showing up ready to bring to the table? And do we have it inside of us to add more to that company, to that effort? And so that an experience would be the willingness to take on more responsibility, look to do the things that go the extra mile, to take ownership as if it were your own. You know, the Bible has a lot to talk about ownership. And if we begin to operate our lives with a sense of ownership, then we'll see things differently. If you rent a house, and yet you realize this is not my house, but you take ownership of it and take care of it as a sense that it is yours, then you are operating in a spiritual principle, I believe, that God can bless. And if you treat a job as, you know what, I'm just a worker, it's not my job, but we begin to take ownership of that job, I tell you what, we're going to come at it with a better mindset. We're going to look at opportunities for that company with a better mindset. We're going to make that company better. With a ministry that you're involved with. Well, you know, I was asked by Pastor Dan to do this task with a certain ministry, and so I do it. You know, I'm on the schedule. But what about a sense of ownership? You know what? He asked me, but you know, he asked me because God had already been speaking to me about helping out in that area. So as soon as he asked me, I was like, yeah, okay, God, you're speaking to me. And so, because good leadership kind of clues into that, if you know what I mean, right? And so we appreciate him that Dan's not afraid to ask. And so we begin to take ownership in certain areas because that's a godly principle. And we're not just showing up because we're on the schedule. Man, we're showing up, how can I make this better? I mean, this is how I have caught a revelation of things. And, you know, I'm not always the best, but it's always on my mind. It's always here. And I'm like, I could be doing that even better. And I want to. There's always balance. You understand what I'm saying? But this is an important thing, that a worker is worth his keep. And the more we get engaged, the opportunities that God has given us with the sense of, this is mine. God has given me this. I'm going to walk in this. If you don't own a house yet, begin to own that property and take care of that house such as if it were your own. Because when it's your own, you don't want it to rot away. You don't want things to be broken and continue to stay broken for 2 years. You want to take care of it because it's an investment. It's a good thing. And so, ownership is a very important principle that we can grow in as Christians. We can grow in this, and there's many applications of it. The worker is worth his keep. How about this? If we're actually needing a job, or have a desire to grow in an area, then look for ways to begin to use that, even without the reality, that job actually being there before you. What do I mean by that? If you're praying for a job or a better job, look for ways to begin to walk in that, whatever it is that you want. And I'll tell you, the church is a good avenue, any church, you know what I'm saying? The body of Christ is a good way to begin to operate in that. We could give probably example after example after example, but find a way to begin to operate in that even before you have it. Begin to serve. Because you can learn things about yourself. You can learn things about your skills and abilities. You can even grow in skills and abilities by being involved in the church. And to be serving in ministries. And so find a way to use it in your community. How about this? You want to be a leader, a manager, instead of just a worker in your job? Well, step out in your community. Learn how to get involved in the community management team. It's not going to pay you, but it's going to give you experience. You know what I'm saying? There's some real practical things that we can be stretched in to gain that experience. That'll give us more revelation about how we could be used. And I believe it'll open up even more things for that given that take of revelation and experience to deepen us and to propel us forward. Find a way to show servant leadership in something. Man, we should all be looking for opportunities to grow in servanthood / leadership. I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity that we have in this area, this community, this church, that we have opportunities to show servanthood and leadership. And this is the way we could pave, it could pave the way for you to secure a job or simply grow in that area. So those are just some, I just thought it would be good to go through different things. And what Jesus, I saw Jesus challenging disciples. I'm a disciple, we're disciples, right? And so Jesus challenged the disciples to that. He challenges us to go past the knowledge of things into a revelation of what he's really saying, that aha moment, and to begin to use it for practical sense. Once again, looking at Luke chapter 10. So flip over from Matthew 10 to Luke 10. And Luke chapter 10 is where the 72 returned. We already read this, but I want us to revisit here as we're concluding. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Revelation and experience going on there. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Man, he's just blowing their mind with even more revelation now. Boom, like that. They came back, great experience, celebration. Gives them more. Gives them more. He fosters that hunger that's been brewing inside of them. Verse 20. "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That balancing word. I'm not celebrating about what I just did. We had a great time of ministry. Blah, blah. We kicked those demons out of those people. Yeah. Pride rises up, but Jesus brings it back to us. Listen. Don't celebrate about what you just did, because that's going to tend you towards pride. I'm giving you a little bit more revelation. That's what Jesus is saying. A little bit more insight that's going to help you to grow. He says, simply rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We're workers in God's kingdom. We're not all that. We're not trying to gain the fame and all this. You know, God says, celebrate simply that you are. Your name is written in the book of heaven. Verse 21, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said..." So this is a very joyful thing. Jesus is not like, "I'll show you guys." He's excited about their revelation and their experiences. "With joy through the Holy Spirit," he says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and yet now you revealed them to the little children. My emphasis was added there. And so you revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was for your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And I believe that God is choosing to reveal Himself to more and more people. Some people may say that's a constrictive thing right there. God's not choosing to reveal. I believe God does choose to reveal. And I believe He chooses to reveal Himself consistently, abundantly. And yes, it is a God thing when someone is willing to listen to the gospel. It's a work of God moving on that person's heart. It's not our skill in evangelizing. It's not that. God has moved on their heart through the Holy Spirit. And God is choosing it. And the more sensitive we are to God, the more revelation we have of God's heart for things, we begin to see those moments of sensitivity in people's lives. We begin to see this person is ready to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. To choose what kingdom they want to walk in and operate in. And so yes, choosing those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And I believe God is choosing consistently to reveal Himself to people. Maybe He's choosing to reveal Himself to you today. Maybe you're feeling, you're sensing, in your heart, God is impressing on you that He does love you. And that there is a need for you to know Him. Verse 23. Then He turns to His disciples and says privately. Notice that, privately. This is that revelation, the peeling away of things. Let me show you another layer. Let me show you another aspect. There's something deeper here, God says. He says, disciples, come here. God, something that's deeper. Let me show you. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but they did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Brothers and sisters, this is a special thing that you're catching revelation today. This is what Jesus is saying. When God speaks to you, this is a special thing. The kings, prophets of old, man, they wanted to see this happening. They wanted to see the day when Jesus walked on this earth and reigned and imparted the kingdom of God to people everywhere. There's a lot that He's talking about there, but you're up there with where kings have desired to be. Yes, we are, as people in the body of Christ, we are kingship. We are royalty. We're up there with the information. Have you ever been in a situation at work where maybe the boss is kind of speaking with someone, you kind of know there's probably could be some important information, kind of eager to hear. Is it, it could be about the direction of the company. Could be about the, and so you know some conversation is going on. There's often an eagerness to know inside. It's like, I wish I was on the inner, in the know on that situation. Not that we always have to be, but it's just kind of that tendency. But Jesus has given them insight. He's like, you guys are in the know at this point. And so he's speaking to them where there's that human tendency and letting you know that this is a special thing. And God is calling each and every one of us to walk in a special thing of growing in God, to embrace His knowledge. So when we have opportunities to grow in knowledge, we should be responding with the right heart. We've all wrestled with it. I'll be honest at times, another teaching. But in our heart? Are we opening ourselves up to more knowledge of God? Because more knowledge can challenge us. It can challenge us into deeper revelation. And that revelation could be something that changes the direction of your life. It could be something that changes the focus. And actually, instead of life being a challenge, all of a sudden, joy is consistently in your life. I'm not saying that all of a sudden money starts flowing, boom, boom, boom. But somehow the perspective that comes from a revelation of God can change our outlook in life. And that's extremely valuable to the quality of our lives, the quality of our family lives, when joy is evident. Amen? And so God will give us hunger to know more of His ways. He'll respond. He'll give us a hunger if we ask for it. And He has tons of knowledge. I mean, the Scripture is there for us to grow in. And then we begin to say, Lord, reveal more of Your heart. And I encourage you. I encourage everyone here. You know, we have richness in our worship, but I believe revelation can impact us consistently in the worship times. And so, knowledge is good for our Scripture reading. We should be diligently reading and growing in knowledge of the Word of God. Revelation can impact any time. But I do believe, let's not neglect our times of worship. Let's begin to step out in that and say, not just, God, give me more hunger to know You, but Lord, reveal Your heart more. That's often the expression of many of our worship songs. God, give me more of You. Lord, reveal Your heart to me. And that's really, a lot of times we're expressing, we're not just saying words. The beauty of it within the music context is that we can express it in a more heartfelt way. And this is a wonderful thing. God, peel back the layers of this matter. It's to a king's honor to search out a matter, the Bible says. We're to be like royalty. We're to operate our lives and look over our families in the same way as royalty, as kings and queens. And royalty, taking responsibility, is to a king's honor to search out a matter. God, give me more. Give me more. That's the practical wisdom. And then gaining experience in the things that Jesus did will cause us to be effective at pastoring people. You know, this is really what it's about. Going and making disciples is not going... You're not going to make disciples by simply being, you know, worker of miracles. Work of miracles can help bring people in and stuff. But we all need to grow in the ability to pastor people. Even if that's not your bent, we can grow in this. Because this is the consistent day-to-day thing that makes a difference in a disciple's life, is the pastoring of people. And I understand that for me, is that God helped me to care for people better. I'm not always the best at that. But I've caught a revelation that I believe that God can use the pastoring gift. Not that everybody's going to be a set-in pastor, but even within our home groups. You may not even be the leader of that home, but you're caring for that person that's coming in and talking with them in a way that nurtures them. They may be a new person, and that home group leader may not have a chance to necessarily pray with them. But you know what? God is developing us into growing in these things. And so we take the initiative to step out in that. We can do. I believe that's the gist of the leadership of this church, is to grow in these things. And God wants us to grow in that. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. And maybe God was putting something on your heart that He would want you to grow in knowledge of something. As we were talking today, maybe there's a revelation that you have that hasn't been stepped out on in life. You haven't been able to walk out in that yet. And so maybe there's an opportunity here. There is an opportunity today to pray and ask God to give you more opportunity, more experience to walk out in that. Maybe 20 years ago, God impacted your heart and you have not, even to this moment, been able to forget about that revelation God gave you. and it's impacting you. And you know what? God's Word is not wasted. Maybe this is the season for you to begin walking in that. We prayed this morning, God is the God of all ages. He's the God of your life. He's the God that can use that which seemingly could not be used. He doesn't just use the younger generation, the next generation, the existing generation. He uses all ages. And God, I ask that You would speak to each and every one of us now. If we just realize we don't know much about You, God, give us more knowledge of You. Give me a hunger to embrace Your Word more. Give me a hunger to understand what it is that is being said by these verses, by these ideas, these topics. That thing the home group leader was speaking about the other night, God, I don't have it in myself to search it out, but God, give me a hunger. If that's in your heart, say, God, give me a hunger. Give me a hunger to know more of You. Give me a hunger to understand more of You. That I would be someone who's an overcomer and not always beaten down by the situations in life. God, I believe You have the answer. Give me a hunger for more of You. Give me a desire to know You, God. God, give me revelation that moves past just that knowledge. That is a deep-seated thing that I cannot deny. I cannot get away from, God. Everywhere I turn, You're reminding me, You have called me. You have given me a purpose. You have called me to stand up where nobody is standing up. God, You have given me a purpose to pray for people. You have given me a heart to care for these outcasts, God. The ones that I see every day and no one else sees. God, You've given me the heart for those people. God, help me to move past now into walking out in that. Walking in that situation to begin to walk with those people. To pray with them, God. To understand the hurts. Lord God, give me deepening knowledge of how I can minister to them. God, even show me how I could lead others. And share an impartation that You've given to me, God, and to others who would have a similar sense. God, I ask that You would do a mighty work in our lives, God, that You would give us cross-referencing pockets of people who are moving in this area, moving in this area, reaching people here, reaching people there, God. Use us! Use us, God! Use us! Do the thing that confounds the wise, God. And that from this congregation we would see people found in every avenue, in every circle of life, in the government, God, in the financial areas, Lord God, in the counseling areas, Lord God. Use us, God. God, let us be found there, doing Your work, operating in Your ways, applying Your wisdom. God, use us. God, use us. And if you want to be used by God, and yet you would say even today, I've never asked even the Lord to be the King of my life, the one that leads me. If you've never yielded your heart and your priorities to God today, and God is moving on your heart, and you would say, I want to be used by God, but I want to know God first. And if you want to know God today, I just ask that You would raise Your hand. Even just let me know. Because we want to minister to this need. Amen. I see that hand. God wants to move in our lives today. And there's a beginning point. There is a point where God comes in. And we yield everything. We move past knowledge into a revelation of God's heart. Amen. Let's pray together. And if you prayed this before, that's fine. Let's pray together. And that person, raise your hand. You pray this from your heart. And you're going to recognize that God is the one that saves you from all the waywardness, all of the sin, and the wrong decisions in your life. God is the one that makes provision for that because He went to the cross. He went to the cross for our sin, for our waywardness, for our wrong decisions, our misperceptions. And He paid the price for our sin. so that we would not have to die in that sin. And so this prayer is a prayer of lordship, of making Him Lord of our lives, that He would now direct our steps, direct our decisions, direct our way. Let's pray together. Pray after me. Lord God, I ask You, Jesus, to come to me now. To come into my heart as the center of my being and to take leadership. I admit that I have sinned. I have made wrong decisions. But I choose You today. And I ask You to be my Savior. Help me to walk in Your ways. I thank You, God, for saving me, for shedding Your blood, and dying on the cross, and rising again. Because that's the proof that You conquered death and conquered sin. Thank You for being Lord of my life. Amen. And for each of us now, God, I ask that You would touch each one here, God. That we would be cemented with Your words of life, Your words of truth, that You have reminded us today of that which You have already spoken to us, or that which You have spoken specifically today. God, use us. Use us powerfully. Don't let us walk away without being impacted, Lord God, with Your revelation. God, last week we were challenged to walk more in the revelation of the power of praise. God, let us walk in that revelation even further. Let it become an experience that feeds more revelation. God, give us more of a hunger for You. More of how You can speak to us. God, that we would worship You in might and power. Not in knowledge, but God, in a revelation of who You are. God, help us to move further. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.